This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, March 27, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A massive infrastructure project will transform a two-mile stretch of Apple Avenue in Muskegon. WGVU's Dee Morrison details the construction project.
Apple Avenue is getting a major makeover from U.S. 31 to the lakeshore, a joint effort between the Michigan Department of Transportation and the City of Muskegon. The project modernizes aging infrastructure, including asphalt reconstruction, new concrete curbs, and gutters, replacement of underground water mains, sewers, and updated sidewalk ramps for improved accessibility.
This is a lot to do in one season. This is going to be very disruptive. M46 is a busy corridor in the city of Muskegon, but it's definitely time for a reconstruct.
MDOT spokesperson John Richard explains a significant safety change, converting the current four-lane road into one lane in each direction with a dedicated center left turn lane.
It's very beneficial because when you have that two lanes in each direction, people are trying to get through as fast as they can. So with this dedicated left turn lane, it'll slow traffic down, but still move people through. It'll really increase safety.
Richard notes businesses' access will be maintained throughout construction. Work begins April 15th and is expected to run through November. Project updates are at mydrive@michigan.gov. I'm Dee Morrison.
High school students from across the state are competing in a robotics challenge at Grand Valley State University this weekend. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how the competition often turns into a student's first tech job.
So it's a really great competition for these kids to learn how to design, build, and program a robot. And our goal is to celebrate science and technology like a sport through a robotics sporting event.
Nikki Bonzak is event coordinator for the first robotics district event, as well as a mentor for the Holland Christian Robotics Team. FIRST means for inspiration and recognition of science and technology. This year, 20 teams pit their robots against each other in three-on-three battles, trying to get as many kickballs as possible into their basket before time runs out.
Investing in these kids now in high school, you give them more of an opportunity to see that these are real careers for them. They say the younger you invest in someone in STEM, the more likely it is they realize this is a career.
Teams are sponsored by companies like Gentex, Hayworth, and Cope's Automation Systems. Often, those sponsorships lead to a student's first tech job, even before graduating.
Of my seven seniors, six of them work for sponsors right now because they see the value in these kids before they've even left high school to get them on their engineering teams, get them in their build floors, get them in their machine shops working.
Michigan has more robotics teams than any other state. I'm David Limbaugh.
Kids Food Basket is now serving lunch to students at Muskegon Maritime Academy. The move comes following the sudden loss of school food service. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Kids Food Basket officials say the service began this winter after a budget crisis put nearly 100 students without school meals each weekday. School leadership says they partnered with KFB to counter the impending cutoff. Jessica Owens, principal at Muskegon Maritime Academy, says, quote, "We are grateful for Kids Food Basket stepping in to support the students of Muskegon Maritime Academy during a time of uncertainty," end quote. KFB, which serves more than 11,000 healthy evening meals to 68 West Michigan schools each weekday, says it is committed to providing a nutritious midday meal to Muskegon Maritime Academy for the remainder of the school year. A news release says this response was made possible in part by KFB's recent expanded service in Muskegon County with the 2025 purchase and renovation of a new location on Barclay Street. The expansion, they say, has allowed for the increased distribution of more than 500 additional daily evening meals to children in Muskegon County. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Grand Rapids summer job program is offering youth more than a paycheck. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains.
Applications are now open for the Grow 1000 Summer Youth Employment Program. It connects young workers with professional experience, resume building skills, and job shadowing.
It's more of a youth development or young adult development program.
Executive Director Shannon L. Harris says Grow 1000 partners with companies, nonprofits, and city departments.
We have jobs in education, in manufacturing, in construction, in the arts, in recreation. We have office administration type of jobs. So it's a spectrum.
Over a six-week period from June through July, participants work 20 hours a week and are paid $15 an hour. That includes orientation and professional development workshops every Friday, where students learn skills in teamwork, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, essential for success in the modern job market.
Yes, it's about earning money, but it's also about exploring options for not only today, day, but for their dream job after school.
Local companies and organizations can get involved by hosting an intern or providing financial support. Participants must be 15 to 24 years old, live in Grand Rapids, and be eligible to work in the U.S. Application deadline is Friday, May 8th. I'm Dee Morrison.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is donating 40,000 pounds of food to 9 West Michigan food pantries. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the story.
A nationwide food donation is underway with 250 trucks making deliveries in all 50 states. It's a collaboration with America 250's America Gives initiative and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Just Serve platform. Neil Buckwalter is president of the Grand Rapids stake of the church.
So all of this is grown and packaged and donated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and farms that they have. It is then distributed through networks like this.
North Kent Connect is an affiliate where food is unloaded and distributed to local pantries such as Flat River Outreach Ministries in Lowell and the Green Apple Pantry in Kentwood. Each pantry receives enough food to feed 150 people for 1 week. Buckwalter says the need in Kent County is great, especially with changes to SNAP benefits and rising grocery prices.
With all that is going on, driving up prices, not only for food, but just daily living, people are experiencing more and more of a pinch in their purchasing power, and so any of this kind of support becomes a great help.
The 250 deliveries will provide approximately 10 million meals to families nationwide. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Civil rights groups have reached a settlement with a school district where a teacher reprimanded a student who refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance to protest the war in Gaza. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The agreement resolves a federal civil rights lawsuit filed after the then 14-year-old was singled out for remaining seated during the pledge. Mark Fancher is a former attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan, which represented the student. He says it's critical right now to protect the rights of students and others to peacefully protest.
We're living in very difficult times. Students and faculty come from various different backgrounds, where their perspectives on the issues of the day may differ, they may conflict.
The agreement includes First Amendment training for the staff and clearing the student's record of any indication she did something wrong. In a statement, the school district also commended the student for her courage in speaking up about the incident. I'm Rick Pluta.
Some policy advocates are pushing Michigan to join a federal program aimed at lowering Medicaid drug costs. Colin Jackson has more.
The generous model calls for the federal government to negotiate with drug makers to bring Medicaid prices more in line with what other countries pay for medicine. Former Republican State Senator Ken Horn says pharmaceutical companies need to answer why medicines cost more in the U.S. than in other countries like Canada.
No one's forced them into that corner yet. Once they have to start explaining that, we're going to start seeing at least some relief.
The pharmaceutical industry says relying on foreign pricing models is the wrong approach and could lead to less medicine availability. Michigan has until the end of July to decide whether to join the program. I'm Colin Jackson.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. They Will Kill You opens in theaters this week, another conspiracy-laden horror film about a group of devil worshippers. The AI doc looks at artificial intelligence and its ramifications for future generations. And Forbidden Fruits is a low-budget film based on a play. WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti talk about all the new movies.
And there's a new horror film opening, They Will Kill You, which is a pretty definitive title there. So what do you know about this, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward for you. This is coming from some of the producers behind the It franchise. This is a bloody, gory mess of a movie. So if that's up your alley, then this is right there for you. We had Ready or Not 2, Here I Come last week, and the joke around the office has sort of been, same, but different, where, this one, essentially follows a woman who, she starts a job as a housekeeping in this, very like sort of luxurious, hotel in New York. Only to come to find out that essentially everyone that stays at the hotel is part of sort of a satanic cult, and she is lined up to be tonight's sacrifice. And so, they will kill you. And she sort of begins to fight her way out. Zazie Beetz is the actor there. She was most recently in Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, but she was in Deadpool 2, Bullet Train. She was in both of the Joker movies. And Patricia Arquette's in this. She's done tons of stuff. I most recently known for her role in Severance on Apple TV. But yeah, it's a popcorn movie. Like if you're not going in thinking you're watching, the next Best Picture winner, you're going in and you're going to have a wild time. People are going to get their heads blown off. People are going to get their limbs chopped off. What more do you need in a movie night?
So this is a really good date night movie.
I think so. What do you need? You just get yourself some popcorn. There'll maybe be some handholding, maybe some laughs. I don't think there'll be any crying in this one. But yeah, so far we're sitting around 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think it's a 90-minute film. You're going to go in, you're going to have a fun time, you're going to leave. It's great.
Also an intriguing documentary, it looks like it's intriguing, The AI Doc, or How I Became an Apocaloptimist.
Yep.
And is this a comedic take on the AI phenomenon, or is this truly optimist is in there, so.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited for this film. We've been saying apocaloptimist around the office. Just for fun, since this trailer dropped. But yeah, so Daniel Roeder, who's sort of the director and guy behind this documentary, he's essentially, him and his partner are expecting a baby, and it sort of begins the journey for him of diving into what is the world, this new world with AI all over the place, what does this world look like that I'm basically about to bring a child into? And then what is it going to look like when I leave and, for the next generation, the generation after it, what are we leaving behind? And so, it's sort of the what is happening with artificial intelligence right now? What does our future look like? Does anybody know what that future looks like? A lot of the trailer is talking about how essentially, we're not doing it or using it right now. And we could... in a blink of an eye, everything could be over. But also at the same time, what could we use AI for? Can we cure cancer? Can we, prevent more global warming using AI and using the model and the predictive sort of pattern index? And so it's a very intriguing documentary. At one point, he basically says, I think I just need to get these CEOs of, OpenAI and all these big global AI companies and sit down with them. And he manages to get a few and be able to sit face to face with them and sort of just talk about the future of AI, where we're at right now. And I am just very excited to go sit down and watch this. And I think, yeah, that's sort of really the apocaloptimist part of this is, yes, we understand that AI, we're still trying to maybe figure out what it means and what it is, how to best use it. And maybe it is our downfall, but at the end of the day, how can we use it to better ourselves and better the world?
Also, a film opening called Forbidden Fruits.
Yeah, it's playing for just sort of the late night shows. Sort of a fun little horror fantasy for you. The director of this came alongside I'm blanking on her name. I think her first name is Lisa, but she wrote a play, is sort of this is like based off of. It follows this group of girls. It's essentially sort of a Mean Girls type of piece where they all kind of run this fashion boutique store together. But in the sort of second layer to that is they sort of all run sort of this witchy femme cult in the, in the basement of it all. And so
it's a coven.
Right. And, you get sort of this new girl that kind of comes in and, you know, becomes part of the group, but then sort of like shakes the group up from the inside. So it stars Lily Reinhart, who is most known for her roles in Riverdale, and then Lola Tung, who most recently well-known for her role in The Summer I Turned Pretty. And of course, because it's Forbidden Fruits, they all have like fruit names like apple and cherry. And Lola plays Pumpkin, who's like sort of the new girl on the block. So yeah, I think this, I mean, it's 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it looks just like kind of like a fun, you know, time, a fun ride of, you know, just sort of the two sides of it, the storefront and then sort of the friend group that runs it. And sort of how do those two things go together and how do they all fall apart?
Now, 1 week ago, Project Hail Mary opened and it's the number one at the box office. And so did it exceed expectations for you?
It did. It opened higher than it was tracking to. I think audiences have really loved this film, have loved Rocky as well. It's very amaze. But yeah, I think, you know, it's great to have it. I mean, it's such a good film. It's just I think, you know, obviously you can compare between the book and the film and sort of like, you know, what's the difference? What do they leave out? What's missing? But I think like ultimately they did a really good job at like just getting to the root of the book and hitting on all of the like major pieces. Granted, they probably left, you know, tons of scientific stuff out that are in the book, but you know, that's sort of the nice thing about a book that you can add all that detail. I heard an article that was talking about Chris Lord or Phil Lord and Chris Miller were saying that the first cut was like 3 hours and 45 minutes long, and then they obviously trimmed that thing down pretty significantly. So there's definitely tons of stuff that they, you know, were looking to add.
Oh, well, maybe we'll get a director's cut at
some point. That would be pretty fun, a little four-hour Project Hail Mary director's cut. But, yeah, it's great.
Also, in the wake of the Oscars and one battle after another winning, you did bring that back. Did that have some good attendance numbers?
Yeah, you know, I've got a couple of people that I know that haven't seen it yet, and I'm like, we got to go see it while it's back in theaters. And even speaking about that, we also are bringing back Sinners this week, just in case you'd missed that one as well and want to see that on the big screen. I mean, it was sort of the runner-up of, you know, most Oscars and didn't win Best Picture, but, like, you know, did win a lot of good awards. And, you know, it's fun to see Ryan Coogler win for original screenplay. And, yeah, so it's just kind of having the two there that were sort of, like, neck and neck through the entire award season. If you didn't get a chance to see him on the big screen, this is your week to do so, because that's the best way to enjoy a movie.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, March 27, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.